so much. We trust that God is going to continue to be our lead and guide until death. We need him very, very much. If you would take your Bibles this morning, go to John chapter 15. John chapter 15 is where we're going to be at this morning. John chapter 15. So what was demonstrated when these men and women went out and gave their lives for our freedom? You know, honestly, when you think about the sacrifice that they were willing to do and give for each one of us, my conclusion is that in some cases, and you don't know exactly everyone's motivation why they did it, but you know, there can be a lot of different motivations in life for people in what they do. But think just for a moment, when somebody makes a decision to go to the front lines of the battle and fight knowing that they're probably going to die, I'm guessing that the scope of different motivations narrows very small, because there's only so much that you would be willing to, you know, there's only so many reasons why you would do something like that. And I would say that the best demonstration of love is when a person sacrifices everything. And what more can a person give than to sacrifice their life? What more is there to give? And that is the ultimate and greatest sacrifice. John chapter 15 and verse 13 is a verse that is spoken. Jesus is speaking. He's speaking to his disciples at the end of his life. He's about ready to give himself for those disciples and for us. Notice in John chapter 15 and verse 13 what Jesus says. He says to those disciples, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Father, I pray that you would be with us this morning as we look briefly in your word. God, would you give us truth, truth that we can be so grateful of and for. God, truths that will make statements and that we would thank you for. God, truths that we can see so that we can emulate and we can practice ourselves. God, I pray that in the coming moments you would give us your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Here we have Jesus in the last few moments as he's given to his disciples. He has spent the better part of 2.5 to 3 years with these men. He's given them everything except for his life, but he's about to do that. And he wants to demonstrate something to them. You know, he's told them that he loves them. He's told them that the Father loves them, but he's about ready to demonstrate that. And he says in verse 13, as he goes through this, he says, the greatest love that a person could ever give. He said, greater love hath no man than this. There isn't a greater gift. There is nothing greater to demonstrate your love than, he says, that a man laid down his life for his friends. And so I want to look at this verse, and we're going to look at a couple of verses on the either side of that verse to help us, but some truths that we want to look at this morning. I want you to see, first of all, that his love was demonstrated by his sacrifice on the cross. Go back to verse 12, and we see, this is my commandment, Jesus says, that ye love one another, and what's the end of the verse say? As I have loved you. And so he's speaking there and he says, he's telling them, I want you to love other people. And he said, I'm commanding you to do this. I want you to love people. And he gives them something to look at. He said, just the same as I have loved you. Now in telling us that he's telling us then, and we go into verse 13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Now we could look at verse 13 and say that's just a simple truth. If you love your friend, then lay down your life. But we know that in context, he's going back to verse 12. This is what I've done for you. I'm telling you to love your friends, or to love your, you know, the people around you, to love one another. And then he says, just as I've loved you. And he says that that's the greatest kind of love. We understand that sacrificial, self-giving life giving, just as Jesus Christ has done, was that love. Now, there are some things that we draw from this. If Jesus loved them enough that he would give his life, sacrificed on the cross, we can draw some conclusions. First of all, he knew and cared about their situation. Why would Jesus die? You know, you don't just go and just say, you know what, I love you so much and I want to show you this, so I'm going to die. There's a reason why and there was something that Jesus knew that he needed to die. And so as he looked on these people, he knew and cared about their situation. Let's just take a moment to review what their situation was. What was the situation with these 12 disciples? What do we know from the book of Romans chapter 3 about these individuals? What was their need that Jesus knew? That he would say that he had to die. Because again, you know, just to prove my love to you, I could say I love you, you know, to bring myself into a situation where I would die doesn't in and of itself mean I love you. Just, okay, I'm going to die so that you can see I love you. There's a lot of other ways to show love. But here, why did Jesus have to die? Well, we go back to Romans chapter 3, and in universal truth that we understand what. What was the need of these men? And it's the same need that we in our humanity have need of today. What is the need? Someone tell me, what was the need that's given to us in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23? We're all sinners, right? Now, Jesus knew the need of these men. He knew, he had been with them, but he knew before that these men were sinners. They had lived a life and they had trespassed against the law. They had gone against God. They had gone against Jesus' words. He knew that they were sinners and he understood that truth. He also understood what else about that truth. Later in chapter 6, what does the scriptures teach about that sin? The wages of sin is death. They were going to die. They were going to be eternally separated from God. By the way, again, these truths are still real today. The fact of the matter is we're all sinners. We are all deserving of death. A wage is something that we're working for something else. It's a wage. It's something that we do. And so as we are sinners, we are sinning and we are working our way to that eternal separation from God. In other words, there's no hope for us to be with God. Do you realize without Jesus Christ, there's absolutely zero hope that you're going to make your way to heaven and be with God forever? There's no way. Because we have all sinned. Every one of us has sinned. For all have sinned and come short of the glory. We understand that glory is God's holiness, his perfectness, his purity, his righteousness. He's never sinned one time. And as soon as we sin one time, the first time, there's nothing we can do anything about it because we're sinners and now we're deserved of eternal death, eternal punishment. My friend, that is a truth that we must understand. See, Jesus knew their need. He knew that without him and his death, he knew that these men were sinners and he knew that they were going to die and he knew that they would be eternally separated from God. He knew that. He knew their need. And more than know about it, obviously, he cared about it. He cared about it. That's why he did something. I ask you this morning, are you aware of your need of a Savior? The fact of the matter is we're all sinners. The Bible says so, and we have proved it over and over again. The fact of the matter is every one of us is deserved of eternal punishment in what the Bible calls hell. We're deserving of that because of our sin. Every day that we commit, we're working for that destination. We're working for that eternal separation. And God knew that about you. He knows it about the disciples. He knows it about us. And he cared about it. He cared about it. He knew and he cared about their situation. He knew that he had what it would take to meet their need. He knew, as the God-man, Jesus Christ was 100% God, the only one that could take the penalty and suffer for it. But as a man, he was needed to die on the cross himself, man for man. He knew he was the only one that could take it. A man, you know, another man that wasn't God couldn't do it, and God couldn't, without being a man, do it. And so Jesus, the only one that could, would take the penalty for our place. You see, he understood what man needed. He cared about it. He knew that he had what it would take to meet their need. And thirdly, he was willing to give up what he had to meet their need. I want you to think about the life of Jesus Christ. He was eternally man, but eternally God. He had everything. He was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And yet he saw people that needed, and they needed help. He knew that he had the means to meet their need. And he did something about it. He didn't need to. He didn't have to. But he was willing to do that for you. Just like the men and women that have gone before us in battle. They've seen a need out there, right? They've seen a need. There's a need. There's a cause here. They knew that they had what it would take to meet that need. Listen, if I give my life, and if you give your life, and if you do this, and we do this, then maybe there's a chance that we can have our freedoms. And men and women have gone out and they fought for the cause. And we have seen the benefit from that. And these men and women were willing to give up what they had to meet the need. But my friends, can I tell you this morning, Jesus Christ himself looked at every one of us and sees our needs. He knows that he has what it takes to meet the need, and he did something about it. He was willing to give up himself to meet the need. So first of all, we see his love demonstrated by his sacrifice on the cross. I want you to see, second, his love being the ultimate love, demonstration of love, the ultimate. You see, the greatest ability to show love is to give the most valuable possession away that one possesses. And that, of course, is a person's life. And Jesus Christ did that. He gave up everything he had as far as his life goes. As a man goes, he gave that up so that you and I could have eternal life. My question is, are you grateful for that? He gave it up. He had something and he gave it up. He was willing to say, no, I'll be done. I'll die so that you can live. And he gave that up. What a sacrifice. But furthermore, beyond the fact that he gave up his own life, the greatest love is ultimate in that the recipients of this love are undeserving creatures. You know, it'd be one thing if he gave up himself for perfect people that didn't have any faults. You know, we tend to want to give people things, you know, that we really like, that we really relate with, that are really good. You know, we want to give them a gift. But we are not so prone to want to bless people that have a lot of problems. But I tell you, this sacrifice that Jesus gave was amazing because he willingly gave up himself, but he gave it up for people that actively go against him every single day. My friends, that's why this is the greatest sacrifice, greatest declaration of love. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6 tells some stark reality to us. All we like sheep have gone astray from him, the shepherd. We have turned every one to his own way against the shepherd. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Folks, Jesus Christ was the greatest sacrifice ever, not only because he was willing to give his life, but because he did it for people that were against him, just like me and just like you, making his sacrifice so great. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just, that was Jesus. Why did he do that? The just for who? The unjust. That he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. And then 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might have life through Him. Here in His love, notice, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sin. You see, it's one thing that He was willing to sacrifice and give His life for us, but my friend, He did it to a group of people that were against Him, that were not for Him, that didn't love Him. It's easy to love someone that loves you, but it's very difficult to love someone that does not love you, that goes against you, making this sacrifice so great. But can I tell you, folks, these two things are amazing. But most importantly, His life was given rather than taken. You see, men and women that went, their lives, in a sense, maybe were taken. Jesus gave it. And I would say anybody that sacrificed, that knew that he was going to die, has given his life. My friend, that is the declaration of the greatest gift that could ever be given to a group of sinful people that went against him. But that the fact that he didn't just have to, that his life wasn't taken away from him, stolen away from him. He crucified on the cross, and we have blamed so many people. Folks, understand that when Jesus was on the cross, it wasn't the crown of thorns that did him in. It wasn't the this, it wasn't the that. What did him in was what? At what point in time did Jesus go from life to death? When he declared, giving up the ghost. Into thy hands I commend or commit my spirit. You see, Jesus gave up his life willingly. He said, I am willing to go, and I go now. His life was not taken, it was given. My friends, I want to tell you, that is the ultimate sacrifice. It's amazing that he was able, he knew, he had the knowledge of, he cared. It's amazing that he had the means to take care of the situation. It's greatly amazing that he then was willing to do it and he sacrificed. But folks, can I tell you, beyond that, he did it for wicked people that were against him. And he did it of his own accord. He did not have to, but he gave it up. And this verse in John chapter 15 and verse 13 says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Englishman George Attlee, a missionary to Africa, was attacked by a party of natives. He had with him a Winchester repeating rifle with 10 loaded chambers. The attackers were completely at his mercy. Calmly and quickly, the missionary summed up the situation. He concluded that if he killed the natives, he would do more harm to the mission than if he allowed them to take his life. When his body was found in the stream, his rifle also was found with its 10 chambers still loaded. George Attlee could have saved himself. He chose to give his life for others, for the cause of Christ. Folks, Jesus Christ did the same thing. He could have called 10,000 angels. He could have done anything. He could have taken care of those ones that crucified him. He could have come down from the cross had he chosen, but he chose to give his life for you. He chose to go to the front of the battle lines so that he could demonstrate his love to you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Mark says it this way in chapter 10 and verse 45, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, to give, and to give his life a ransom for many. Thirdly, we see that his love is to be imitated in our lives to our brothers and sisters. Notice in verse 12 again, John 15, 12, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. We look at what our brothers and sisters, our men and women, have done before us in past wars. Wow. This morning, we're grateful. Tomorrow, we celebrate. We're grateful for those people that, honestly, many of us cannot understand. honestly, I hope I never have to be put into that situation, but I ask myself, would I be willing to do that? And we'd have to think through the different causes. In some cases, it was, you know, freedom in the country. In some cases, it was freedom from, you know, in religion. In some cases, it was freedom for just certain belief system that they had. But every person that was in that war had to come up with, you know, is this worth it for me? You know, we're grateful for those that made that decision. And was it worth it? Well, what do you think? Are you grateful to live in a land where we're free? Are you grateful to live in a place that we can come to church like this and make our choice of how we worship and how we live our lives and how we do certain things? And I don't know how long we'll have that liberty, but my friends, we ought to be very thankful for it. But you see, Jesus didn't just demonstrate this and just say, hey, I hope that your life is blessed. He said, listen, I've done this for you, not only to save you and to deliver you and to give you eternal life, which he did, and I'm so grateful for, but he did it to demonstrate it, just to say, I want you to do the same thing. And he commanded that we love one another as he hath loved us. And I look at that and I say, boy, do I have that kind of love? Do I have that kind of care? Do I have that ability? Well, God says, I want you to do the same. I want you to demonstrate before your brothers and sisters, to other people, you demonstrate that same willingness to give up what you have. Question, going back to the beginning, do you care about the needs of other people? Honestly, some people don't. Some of us are so selfish that we don't really care about the needs. We're always looking out for ourselves, and that's human nature. But my friends, if we're going to love other people, we've got to care about other people. We've got to understand what people are going through. We've got to be willing to look into another person's life beyond ourselves and our problems and our struggles. You know, we're going to probably have struggles until the day we die. That's the reality. And if we wait until everything is met in our own lives to help somebody else, we'll be waiting for the rest of life. My friend, do we care about other people? Now see, Jesus said, I want you to love just like I've loved. Do you care? Now you might debate whether the next one, do you have the ability to take care of needs? Well, I don't know that we have the ability to take care of everybody's need, but we have ability to lift them up before the throne of grace like we just learned about, right? We have the ability to go before the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, that does have the means to take care of people's needs. What are we doing to meet those people's needs? How are we living our lives that way? Are we willing, like Jesus Christ, to give up what we have in order to meet that person's need? That's a soul-searching question because many of us like what we have. We like our time, we like our money, we like our possessions, and we look at a person that doesn't have it and we say, I just don't know that I'm willing to do that. Well, we have a command to love just as he has loved. What about sacrifice? Are we willing to show that through sacrifice? To give up? I love the fact that God is telling us, he says in the book of Romans, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Aren't you glad that verse is in there? Because, you know, God is not always asking us to die physically. But he is asking us to die to ourselves. Die to my time. Die to my agenda. Die to my desires and wants. Die to my whatever it is, to die to self so that others' needs are met. So that other people in the church are blessed, so that they can move on, so that they can live the right way. We see, first of all, that it's commanded. God says that this is a command. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. A living sacrifice, even though he was a dying sacrifice, we are called to be a living sacrifice for each other. God is not asking me to die on a cross for you, at least not at this point. But he is asking us to give ourselves to each other. My friend, I want you to think just for a moment, how sacrificial are you to the brethren? That's what God's calling us to be. Is it exemplified? Is it indicative of the sacrifice that Jesus gave? We look at what he did and we say, why did he do that? That doesn't even make sense. But it definitely demonstrated his love. Is our sacrifice giving our love to our other brothers? It was commanded. It was demonstrated. He showed us how to do it. And we see lastly in verse 14, it's very blessed. In verse 14, ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. I love the blessing that's given there. It ends with blessing for us. Oh, as a saved person, we aren't an enemy of his, and we are his friends. But he said, listen, if you will do that, there is blessing for you. There's a blessing for you. There's a blessing from God as you give. I love the fact that he wants to bless as we give. Memorial Day is set up as kind of a blessing for those people that have gave themselves. Is it really worth a lot that we have a picnic tomorrow for those people that died? Does it make them feel any better? I don't know. They're not here. But I will tell you in a very small way, there's a blessing. But can I tell you that there's a blessing from God for you as we are willing to give? There's a principle in the Bible all throughout. As we give, he always meets our need with overabounding grace. Always. God will always outgive anybody that chooses to give. Always. And so, friend, I want to encourage you today. Yeah, let's take some time today and tomorrow, and maybe some of you yesterday, to remember and be thankful for those that have gone before us. And let's bless those individuals with a prayer, with a time of remembering, with a service, with a song and a salute. However, with a burger. But can I say this, more importantly than that, may we thank God for the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, recognizing a need, a sinner, on my way to hell. Love, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For an individual that could not give anything back, that's me and that's you. And by the way, that's true love. When we love people that cannot give back, that cannot repay, true sacrifice, true love like Jesus Christ gave, greater love. Hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And this Memorial Day, you know, yes, let's remember those men and women that have gone before us. But I tell you, we need to remember and be thankful for Jesus Christ, that he was willing to die on the cross for us so that we could have eternal life. And I love the fact that it's separated from anything that I can do. You know, Jesus didn't do it. And he says, now, okay, I did this. And here's a list of things in small print of what you have to do in order to get this. Aren't you grateful for that? You know, it's one thing, you know, on our day, they advertise us things that are free. And then underneath you read, only have to submit this and do this. I'm so grateful that there's not something that I have to do to get it. The Bible says, for by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. It is a gift of God, not of works. Freedom. I don't have to do anything. I don't have to do anything to receive this. All I have to do is depend on what Jesus Christ did on the cross to accept that free gift. And so, Memorial Day weekend, let's remember those that have gone before us, but let's be thankful, and then let's take it a step further. It would be great if we celebrate this weekend, even for the freedom that Jesus Christ has given to us. But Jesus didn't end with that. He said, now I want you to do the same for others. So the call to us is to live this in front of other people. Will you, like Christ, sacrifice yourself for the people that are around you? We praise the Lord for the greatest love demonstrated to us on the cross. Father, thank you for this encouraging challenge from your truth. God, what a verse that's been given. And as I this weekend reflected upon what Memorial Day means, and I don't really have a lot of background and a lot of knowledge of what men and women did and how they sacrificed, but I can tell you, I don't understand the love and devotion that they had for people that they didn't even know. They didn't know me. They didn't know that I would benefit. God, I thank you for that. And what a small picture of what your sacrifice was. God, I want to thank you for that willingness. But God, my prayer is that not would I only be thankful, but that I would demonstrate that same kind of love to my brothers and sisters. God, that I would be selfless, that I wouldn't be selfish, that I would be willing to give, that I would recognize what I have to offer. God, and I pray that you would help us to love the same way. God, thank you for the blessing that you have for us as we do. And so, God, thank you for your love. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.